Blog Talk Radio.
Panera now delivers, so you can order good, clean food right to your office, or door, or porch, or backyard, or front yard, or apartment, or dorm, or castle, or shop, or worksite, or wherever. For lunch, dinner, and everywhere in between. Click the banner to order or visit PaneraBread.com. Participating locations only. Panera. Food as it should be.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I pray that the day that the Lord has made has been a day of rejoicing. It has been a day of praise, and it's been a day of blessing. Not only for me, but I pray it has been for you as well. Well, I am so forever grateful that you have tuned in and sat with me at Mission from the Heart Radio. And we are in for a treat with our lesson today. And I pray that you come ready, willing, and able, and you come hungry for the Word of God. For He has set before us a beautiful banquet table concerning His Word today. So get your Bibles ready and just come with an open heart and a mind to receive and a heart to receive rich, rich nuggets concerning His Word. So thank you again for your faithfulness to Mission from the Heart Radio. Now, our lesson today, it's a hot topic, and especially in the community of faith, in the family of faith. But I want to look at each point individually. Now, our lesson today is titled Head Knowledge, No Heart Knowledge. And I'm sure this is a familiar term with, or a familiar saying with you. If it has not been, or if you have not heard it, then stick with me through this lesson, because the scriptures will illustrate and show us exactly what this title represents. And again, write on your paper, head knowledge, no heart knowledge. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. I'm sure we've heard that saying or that quote. I'm not sure who penned it or who quoted it originally, but I've heard it used in several ways, on commercials and just in casual conversation, but the mind truly is a terrible thing to waste. But I like to look at it this way. The heart, a terrible thing to waste. Or the heart has a mind of its own. And if you really give that some deep thought, in the same perspective that we view or see, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. I like to look at it in a deeper way because it has a deeper meaning. The heart is a terrible thing to waste. Proverbs 23, verse 7, puts it this way. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Think about that. God is omniscient. He's omnipresent and he's omnipotent. He's an all-knowing God. So I want to look at a God who can call us out because of his omniscience, because of his omnipresence, and because of him being omnipotent. Now, keep in mind, the title of this teaching track, Head Knowledge, No, and that's N-O, Heart Knowledge. So we're going to look at a lot of scripture today, and I want you to come ready to take notes of my first point. Now, for the benefit of knowing the points in advance, in the event that you may not be able to tune in for the next broadcast concerning the 3 points, take note of these 3 points. And the first point that we will look at today is God knows the heart. God knows the heart, the first point. The second point that we will look at in this particular teaching track is God shows the heart. God shows the heart. And the last point we will be looking at is God flows from the heart. God flows from the heart. Again, point one, God knows the heart. Point two, God shows the heart. And point three, God flows from the heart. And you will see how all of this gets pulled in perspective by way of the scripture. And one of my teaching ways is that I love to allow scripture teach in light of scripture. And so, looking at our first point today, we will be looking at God knows the heart. Now, of course, this is always personal because it's easy for us to point fingers at others that we know concerning this particular lesson. Head knowledge, no heart knowledge. And you may have somebody in mind, or you may have a couple of people in mind concerning head knowledge, no heart knowledge. But this lesson is not to point finger, but it is to look at self and make sure that you are on the right side of the track. Now, again, this teaching track is speaking about believers in Christ Jesus, and the scriptures will show that the lesson learned is that we, as the body of Christ, as a born-again believer, a Christ follower, that we are to have more heart knowledge than head knowledge. And again, you may have heard it this way: religion, no relation. Religion, no relation. That's the same thing as head knowledge, no heart knowledge. So let's get right into the scripture, and let's look at our first point. Point one being God knows the heart, and if you would, for an outline, put underneath that point A, being good, bad, and ugly. And then underneath A, put B, religious blindness. So A being good, bad, and ugly, and B being religious blindness or religious blindness. Now, I talked about in the intro that the mind is a terrible thing to waste. We're going to look at the heart and the mind. Keep in mind that the heart has a mind of itself, and it will make sense. We know that God is omniscient, he's omnipresent, and he's omnipotent. He's a all-knowing God. And let's look at scripture concerning the first point. If you would, walk with me, 1 Chronicle 28, and we're going to read verse 9. Now, if you've studied with me in the past, I'm a person who likes to read different translations to get a little deeper meaning of Scripture. But we're going to go to 1 Chronicle 28, and we're going to look at verse 9. And it reads this way. And this is in the NIV translation. And you, my son, Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Now that just gets right to the point of God knows the heart. And let's look at it this way and make it personal. God knows your heart. He knows my heart. And when we've read 1 Chronicle 28, verse 9, it clearly indicates, and you, my son Solomon, you can even put your name there and make it even more personal to you, as if God is speaking to you personally, which he is. And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. He will reject you forever. And listen to what it says in the New Living Translation, just to get a little simpler understanding of the broadcast, of the teaching lesson. And Solomon, my son, know the God of your ancestors. Worship and serve him with your whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord sees every heart and understands and knows every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will find you will find him, but if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. So the message is clear in this particular passage, in this particular verse. For the Lord sees every heart and understands and knows every plan and thought. So God is omniscient. He is omnipresent, and he is omnipotent. He knows the heart. And so we want to continue to seek his face at all times. Some of us have heard it this way: you can fool me, you can fool man, but you can't fool God. And that's because he knows our heart. Now, we're going to look at 1 Samuel 16. So if you would, for the note-taking, make note of 1 Samuel 16. And we're going to look at verse 7. And we're still looking at the point of God knows the heart. Samuel 16, verse 7. And it reads, "But the Lord said to Samuel, the prophet, do not look at his appearance or at his physical structure, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Now, keep in mind, what I'm trying to paint as a picture in my first point is to show how big God is. And Scripture tells us that he is a God who knows all, who is everywhere, and powerful enough to know the motives of man's heart. And according to 1 Samuel 16, just as we read in 1 Chronicles 28, it's indicating that we can fool man, and we look at things from the outward appearance, but God, because of who he is, he looks at us from the inside. Let me read this in the New Living Translation, 1 Samuel 16, 7. "But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't make decisions the way you do. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at a person's thoughts and intentions, motives." Thoughts and intentions. So what are your intentions? What are some of your thoughts that you may not share with someone? Always remember that God knows our heart. And scriptures let us know that. And these are just some out of many, but to set the stage, these two particular verses indicate that. Now let's look at A, good, bad, and ugly. Good, bad, and ugly. Let's go to Psalms 44 and allow it to illustrate for us. Good, bad, and ugly. Psalms 44, and if you would, write down verse 22. Psalms 44, 22 says, "For your sake, you face death all day long." I'm sorry, let's go up to 21. Psalms 44, 21. We'll start at 20. "If we had forgotten the name of our God or spread out our hands to a foreign god, and that's a lowercase G-O-D, would not God have discovered it, since he knows the secrets of the heart? We erect little foreign gods in our heart, in our minds, and when it gets into the mind, it comes down to the heart, and before you know it, you have fallen or submitted to little bitty gods that are in our life. And those gods do have names, and sometimes we don't even see it as a little god. And when I say little god, I'm saying the lowercase G-O-D. And this explains to us, or lets us see in this particular verse, verses 20 through 21, that these secret areas in our heart that we carry over time become devastating to our life. These are hidden secrets about ourselves. But remember, God is omniscient, God is omnipresent, and God is omnipotent. He is an all-knowing God. He knows the good about our heart, he knows the bad about our heart, and he knows the ugly about our heart. And this was indicated in the first two scriptures we read in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles and 1 Samuel. But here in Psalms 44, indicating that he knows the secrets of the heart. And there are some secrets about ourselves that we didn't even know we had. And we may have suppressed it for so long that we did not realize it was just laying dormant in our life. And if a certain button got pushed, or if a certain situation took place to trigger that deep secret, then what laid dormant in our heart will come out, and it would show itself in our action. So again, this is the good, the bad, and the ugly. So these are some things that we truly need to deal with concerning our heart. Now remember, we know the saying, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. But keep in mind, the heart is a terrible thing to waste, according to Scripture. So let's look at Proverbs 15, and we're going to look at verse 26. Proverbs 15, 26. And read with me concerning what it says, and I'm reading from the NIV. The Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked, but those of the pure are pleasing to him. He detests the thoughts of the wicked, but those of the pure are pleasing to him. So now, we have to maintain an orderly house. The house that we maintain is the body, meaning our mind, our thoughts, our soul, our will to choose, and the innermost cockles of our heart, which is called the human spirit. We have to maintain an orderly body. Now, keep in mind, when we were born in sin, and before we became born again, then there was some outwardly things that were contrary to what Scripture teaches us and our new nature as a believer is willing to accept. But when we confess that we are a sinner and we bend our hand to His and we repent of our sin and we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we come to a whole heart to believe that He died on that cross for you and me, we take on a new nature, a born-again nature. Now, for the sake of those who may be listening to the broadcast today, I do not want to assume that everybody who listens to this broadcast is a believer in Christ Jesus. So I believe that this is the perfect resting spot to extend the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who may not know Him for themselves, who may not know Him relationally, who may only know of Him in their mind, but not in their heart. Let's partner together, brothers and sisters. And if you would pray with me, and those who do not know Jesus intimately and relationally, would you bow your head and repeat after me, but prepare your heart that He would come in, that you would want to be born again. So, brothers and sisters, if you could pray with me and we touch and agree, and if you can think of someone that you know needs Jesus, lift them up in this particular prayer as well. Add their name there. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. So lift them up that they would receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So let's pray. Lord God, Father, we come to You right now asking and believing that You are God. We come asking for those who are listening to this prayer that we lift them up, bring them to Your feet. They come with outstretched hands and a whole heart to accept You as their Savior. They believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. He paid the price for the sin of the world. Lord, You are the Savior. Lord, You died for my sin. Lord, I give my heart to You. Come into my life. Clean me up from the inside out. I would be made brand new. I love You, Lord Jesus. I need You every day. I've messed up and I cannot fix anything, but You are my way maker. You are my redeemer. I love You. I believe You by faith. And I confess of every sin, known and unknown, I surrender to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 And thank you, brothers and sisters, for praying alongside me and lifting up that person that the Holy Spirit has placed in your heart at this appointed time to lift them up, because this is what the body is about, bringing others into the ark of Jesus Christ, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So for those of you who've been giving your life to Christ, find a Bible-believing church and get discipled and worship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Join a small group Bible study. Continue to listen to Mission from the Heart Radio. And get into Sunday school, that you would grow and go in grace. And tell somebody and be baptized. Let the world know that you are a born-again believer. Amen and hallelujah. Now, as we continue in our lesson concerning good, bad, and ugly, we've read Proverbs 15, and we reflected on verse 26 concerning the thoughts of the wicked. Now, as a believer in Christ Jesus, you wouldn't normally think that we would have wicked thoughts. But I've heard it put this way at times, that an idle mind can be the workshop for the enemy. But the mind who sets itself on pure thoughts, righteous thoughts, devotional thoughts through the Word of God, then this is what pleases God. Keeping the mind free of clutter in our thoughts. And we can find ourselves thinking wicked things that we may not think are wicked, but when we really pray about it, and when we really think about it, they do not line up with Scripture or righteousness of the Word and what it teaches us as a body of believers. So let's look at Proverbs 21 and let's look at verse 2 and see what it tells us. Proverbs 21, verse 2. All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. So the heart will be tested. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Now, point one being, God knows the heart. He will test the heart. And we will look further into this lesson of point two and point three, being God shows the heart of man, and he also flows from the heart of man. So, again, Proverbs 21:2 indicates every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. He weighs our hearts. So now we've seen good, bad, and ugly concerning Scripture on knowing the heart, God knowing the heart. Let's look at the heart of religious blindness. Now, here, again, this is religion, head knowledge, no heart knowledge. And my point that I'm trying to raise, that I'm trying to reflect or illustrate, is that in the deepest part of your heart, our heart, God is there. He knows all. He sees all. He's everywhere at one time. Let's look at the religious blindness. And let's read Matthew 7. Matthew 7, and we're going to start at verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21, and we're going to read through 29. Matthew 7, 21 through 29. Everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers the law. Now, who are their teachers of the law? The teachers of the law were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Those were the religious leaders during that time. So, religious blindness because of one, that we hear the word of God and we don't do the will of our Father, then we built our house sand. Now, those are believers. We have believers who hear the word every Sunday, or every Bible study, small group, whatever the case may be. And we hear it audibly, but we don't hear it eternally. Remember, head knowledge, no heart knowledge. We're hearing it with our natural ear, but we're not hearing it with the Remember in the intro, I had made mention that the heart has a mind of its own. And in this particular passage, it's telling us to be wise and not foolish builders, meaning we hear God's word, but we're not doing his word, because it has not filtered down into the heart. It's just in the mind. head knowledge, no heart knowledge. And as a body of Christ, we have to grow in ways to where we are submissive to God's voice through the Holy Spirit. Because we can fool man, but we cannot fool God. And remember, in this particular passage, it said, not everyone who says to me, in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say, Lord, Lord. We hear that today. Many say, Lord, Lord, and they appear to sound like a believer in Christ Jesus. And then you have the body of Christ Jesus saying, Lord, Lord, and it's hard to even make the distinction. But the scriptures teach us that we will know each other by our fruit. And God knows the motive of our heart. And when the two become one, the motive of our heart, the righteousness of our heart, the fruit that comes forth, then the two become one. Let's look at John 7, and we're looking at religious blindness within the body of Christ. John 7, verse 25. And we're going to read through 52. At that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Here, he is speaking publicly, and they were not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Christ? But we know where this man is from. When Christ comes, no one will know where he is from. Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him, and he sent me. At this, they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Because his time had not yet come, still many in the crowd put their faith in him. They said, when the Christ comes, will he do more miraculous signs than this man? The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. Jesus said, I am with you for only a short time, and then I will go to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. The Jews said to one another, where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him? Will he go where our people live, scattered among the Greeks, and teach? What did he mean when he say that Christ will come from? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, why didn't you bring him in? No one ever spoke
the way this man does, the guards declared. The man he has deceived you also. You mean he has deceived you also? The Pharisees retorted. Any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed in him? No, but this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them. Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, does our law condemn anyone without first hearing him and find out what he is doing? They replied, are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee. Now, the purpose for me reading this passage in its entirety is to show that the religious blindness of the people as well as the religious leaders. And the religious leaders were full of head knowledge and no heart knowledge. And the religious leaders did not have as much head knowledge as they thought they had, meaning knowledge of the readings of the Old Testament and living according to religion, living according to religion and not relation. And if they would have just thought about it, and Jesus indicated where he came from, but somehow or another, they just didn't remember. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and he is from the seed of David. But somehow or another, the scripture showed us that the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, missed the mark. And it showed their heart was not with him. And that is the importance of this passage, is to show and reveal how the people were listening to what Jesus was saying, but they were just having head knowledge and no heart knowledge. And it showed religious blindness. And some of us can be that way today. As a matter of fact, we are. We go to church every Sunday, and we listen to the Word of God, and we are not allowing it to saturate our heart. And we will let people know that we've been to church or we've heard the Word of God, but somehow or another, that bad and ugly secret thought lays dormant in our heart, meaning we have not reckoned with that with God. And we hear the word day in and day out. And there's some things in our lives that we're not willing to let go. Those little bitty idol gods that we've erected. You know what they are in your life. It's something that you struggle with. Some of us may struggle with procrastination. Some of us may struggle with gossip, pride, status. And we hear God speaking to our heart. He wants to address these little gods in our life. We've got two more scriptures to look at concerning this first point for today, religious blindness. Let's look at Matthew 9. And I pray that this helps you to grow and come to the understanding that the body of Christ is more than just a head full of knowledge concerning the Word of God. It's deeper than that. It's in the heart. And God addressed that. Many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord. But he will judge them as he will us. So let's look at Matthew 9 and let's go to verse 4. Matthew 9, verse 4. Knowing our thoughts, or knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? This is what Jesus is saying. Let's back this up to verse 1 in chapter 9 of Matthew. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paraplegic laying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. At this, some of the teachers of the law, now, I just indicated those are the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders of the church. Some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. And Jesus says to them, knowing their thoughts, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? Now, let me explain something. Jesus tested their heart. And he showed them their selves. He showed the wickedness in their heart. Now, these are leaders. And they were blind, spiritually or relationally blind. And that's what these scriptures are bringing out. Are you relationally blind? Are you just in religion and not in relation? And last, let's look at Galatians 1. Galatians, and we're going to read verse 6. And I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. Galatians 1, verse 6. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who in his love and mercy calls you to share the eternal life he gives through Christ. You are already following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who twist and change the truth concerning Christ. Verse 6 and 7 in the New Living Translation. There is only one gospel, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This we hear, this is what we share, this is what we extend to the lost. That Jesus is our Redeemer. It was only his blood that could cover the sin of the world. He was the perfect sacrificial lamb that died on that cross for you and me. And as a body of Christ, when we listen or entertain or sell ourselves short of the richness and the beauty and the life-giving word, then God will judge us on that day. Why is it so important for us to come to an understanding that what we have as being a believer in Christ Jesus, we have more than just religion, head knowledge, we have relationship, heart knowledge. We have more than competition. We have more than our own agendas. We have more than our name being placed in lights for the world to see. This is a heart thing. And according to the scriptures in this first point, God knows the heart. He knows the good, he knows the bad, and the ugly concerning our heart, your heart. And he knows who's blind in religion and who has sight in relation. The scriptures that we went through today in this tract demonstrated, outlined, illustrated these points: good, bad, and ugly, and religious blindness. My brothers and sisters, I pray that you come to an understanding of who God is with depth, with meaning, with a whole heart, and intimacy with him. Because the day of judgment is coming. Next broadcast, we will look at our second point concerning head knowledge, no heart knowledge. And our second point is God shows the heart. Now, we looked in depth at God knows the heart. Now we'll look at how he shows us our heart. So I want you to always remember that the grass withers and the flowers, they do fade away. But the word of God remains forever and ever. I thank you for being a faithful listener of Mission from the Heart Radio, and I pray your heart relational and not a religious heart. God bless you.
Panera now delivers, so you can order good, clean food right to your office or door or porch or backyard or front yard or apartment or dorm or castle or shop or worksite or wherever, for lunch, dinner, and everywhere in between. Click the banner to order or visit PaneraBread.com. Participating locations only. Panera. Food as it should be. Panera now delivers, so you can order good, clean food right to your office or door or porch or backyard or front yard or apartment or dorm or castle or shop or worksite or wherever, for lunch, dinner, and everywhere in between. Click the banner to order or visit PaneraBread.com. Participating locations only. Panera. Food as it should be.